Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined today by Adam Mares. He of all the confidence in the world, now that the Denver Nuggets, I would say, handily beat the Lakers in game three. On a scale of 9 to 10, how confident are you?
On a scale of 9 to 10, that's my only numbers I get.
How are you feeling? This is actually where I want to start. Does this change your outlook on the series? Did the way that game three played out, and especially the Nuggets comeback in game two, the confluence of those two games, does that change how you feel about the series?
A little bit. I still think it's probably a 5 or 6 game series. So I don't, it's not one of those things where I'm like, oh, the Nuggets figured them out. Here we go, or anything like that. But the Lakers look a little bit more fragmented, I guess, than what I expected. And you texted me after game two and, your thought was, that they needed that game because, it felt like the Lakers threw it away at the end there. And then of course they salvaged it. And I think from your perspective, you were feeling like Denver can't bounce back. And the one thing that I thought, and I think I texted this to you, or wasn't sure, but the one thing I thought after game two was the Nuggets in the two series so far against Utah and the Clippers were just so significantly better by the end of that series than they were in the beginning. And I know if you didn't watch those series, if you haven't been following the Nuggets, that might sound a little crazy, but this is a Nuggets team that is, the core of them is 22 through 25 years old, mm-hmm. and they are all just gaining so much confidence and experience throughout this whole process. So I think if you were to ask me right now who's the better team, I'd say the Lakers. What if I am to say that I think the Nuggets have a chance in the series, it's because I'm extrapolating that idea of the Nuggets looked better in game two than they did game one, and they looked better in game three than they did in game two. And that has just sort of been the theme of this Nuggets team for this entire playoff run. So I don't think they can be better than the Lakers, but I do think they're going to be better in game four than they were in game three. And that process is just going to continue.
That's interesting. It almost makes it even more annoying that the Lakers put out such a dud in game three. Because if that's the case, if that trend is going to continue, then the Lakers need to make as quick of work of this team as possible before they do learn. And actually, you talked about the experience or lack thereof, basically across Denver's roster. I also think like a big part of this is just Nikola Jokic is this kind of basketball computer that it's like AI basically. Right. He's just learning.
I think this is part of what I'm talking about, though. Yeah. He's just like, he is like an AI. He's like a little algorithm that's just taking in data and figuring things out. And as it goes on, that's why in both of the game sevens, he was phenomenal. But both of the game sixes, it seems like he gets more comfortable the more you get through a series. Because teams, as you go through a competitive series, teams run out of adjustments, right? At some point, it's like, okay,
you are who you are.
We did everything we did. Now we have to just mix things up. And that's boded well for them. The Lakers have a couple of computers on their team, though. LeBron James, Rajon Rondo are also sort of have this in their histories have sort of had this effect as well.
I'm interested. We're going to talk about Jokic and especially Howard a little bit later in the show. But I really wanted to start on this confidence thing because I do think to fans reflect their team. How you and I feel about this, how you and I feel about, where the Lakers are at, where the Nuggets are at, it does say a little bit about where I think the Lakers might feel and where the Nuggets find themselves thinking about this series. And with that confidence, I think heading into the series, I think I told you a few times over that logically speaking, the Lakers are the better team. Just in terms of the way I look at basketball and the way that this matchup has played out over the course of the year, the Lakers are the better team. But the Nuggets are so different from all of those games that they have played or they did play earlier this year that you wind up having to throw all of it out on top of the fact that like one of them Bol Bol played in that stuff.
Right.
And I felt confident that the Lakers are going to win this series. And I still have some of that confidence, but I'd be lying if I said that I had all of it still. And part of it comes from hey, is LeBron ever going to make a jumper?
Yeah, LeBron. I mean, this is, so here's where I would have a lot more confidence. The LeBron that we've seen through the first three games, I go, oh, Denver is just as good as this team. Like, AD can be transcendent. Mm-hmm. He can be on a down night. He can be very good. And LeBron just seems to be stuck in the very good. Like, he's not bad, yeah, but he seems to be like, okay, this or that. But I've watched LeBron enough to know that he does have another gear he taps into when needed. And I thought there were things the Lakers did as a team in that game that were a little bit more experimental, I would say. I mean, playing Markieff Morris at the five for as long as they did was probably not a thing they're going to try again. That felt to me like a, can we buy this or that? But, you know, on the other hand is, I'm never going to believe LeBron is no longer capable of tapping into that supernova level until he's actually eliminated from the playoffs. That being said, we haven't seen it yet. So I'm curious if we are going to see it in game four.
Yeah. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about Nikola Jokic. I want to talk about Dwight Howard. And I want to talk about the physicality here. By the way, this is another crossover episode kind of thing between Locked On Lakers and Locked On Nuggets. Part B of this conversation, Adam is going to be doing the interviewing and I'm going to be answering whatever is left over in this show. I offered to let him go first. I'm not rude. You know, I just want to let you guys know that I do care about my Locked On NBA co-host here. But yeah, make sure you guys check out that as well. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about everything else from the Lakers aspect of the series. Today's show is brought to you in part by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a place to go if you have anything that you are working on your car yourself and you're looking for any kind of a part. They are going to have you covered. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door from a family-owned business who have been doing this for two decades. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose a brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's only at RockAuto.com. So it was odd as this was going on, as Howard was you know, doing his antics and talking crap before getting into the game midway into the second quarter. And then once he got into the game, picked up a technical, picked up some fouls here and there, I noticed that there was a bit of a schism and I found myself in the minority on this one, I think, where most people were watching that from Dwight Howard and saying, Dwight, just play basketball. Shut up. Stop picking up those dumb fouls. I, however, was on the side of the Lakers desperately needed some energy. And I thought he came in and very pointedly tried to give them a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
All this said, Jokic, I don't think is going to get fazed by any of this stuff. So
well he did in game one. I mean, I really do think that it affected Jokic in game one, and he needed to kind of sit down and reevaluate, because to your point, and I don't know how much Lakers fans agree with this, but to me it seems pretty obvious. Dwight Howard is in there to goon it up.
Yeah.
And he can also rebound. He can also – I mean, it's not like he doesn't have any talent. He clearly has a lot of talent even at this stage of his career. But his number one goal is you have six fouls. Mm-hmm. Toe the line of what's a foul and what's not for the 15 minutes you're on the court, and hope that you can – you know, sort of lure Jokic into doing that back to you. If you can, if you get him to toe the line between a foul and you're toeing the line, if you get fouls, so what? If he gets fouls, boom, we win. And in game one, that worked to perfection. Game two, it kind of worked a little bit. Game three, I think Jokic just was above it. I mean, there's the famous, the video that went around of Dwight kind of following him around the court and kind of like, you know, just being like right in his ear. And you could just see Jokic just kind of like, yeah, man, I get it. Like, I get it, bro. I see what you're doing. And it's one of those things where it's like, sometimes once you get above it, you know, you and you see it for what it is, you get it. But let me just say this, Anthony. I am so thankful I don't have to root for that dude. When I heard that joke about him yelling out on the court that he's Batman or something, I was like, this is exactly how I imagined Dwight Howard talks trash. Exactly how I imagined it.
I'm waiting for the wet willies.
Like, yeah. I wonder what the teammates thought. Like, what's Markeith if he's on the bench there with Dwight Howard and he's like, hey, Joker, I'm Batman and I'm coming for – I just picture Markeith being like, bro, yeah, shut up.
Hire a writer, Dwight. Yeah. Dude. You know, in fairness, he is not Dwight Howard. He's Dwight. He's not Wright Howard.
Not I don't Wright even know what Thompson. That means.
No?
No.
It works a lot better when you can actually, like, I can spell those things out.
There you go.
A terrible joke either way. But yeah, I'm interested though. So you talked about, you know, again, Jokic figuring some of this stuff out over the course of the series. Do you think there's a way that Howard gets back into his head in this one? Or do you think it's because I think there is a way to, but I'm interested in what you think about if that's a possibility in any way whatsoever.
I don't think he can get into his head, but I think that he actually has basketball value if he just focused on that. That's a difference. Like, this whole idea of like, oh, he, you know, I can get in his mind and cause him to do these different things. No, get really physical. Jokic, one of the strongest players in the NBA. Dwight's one of the few players that's as strong, if not stronger. So use that. Don't foul, but just do that. Just make him tire him out. Try to grab rebounds. That, to me, that's the way you sort of challenge him. And then, of course, almost as importantly, I think the Nuggets have solved JaVale McGee. That was solved in the first quarter of game one. That was a quick solve.
Yeah.
I think they may have solved a little bit of Anthony Davis at the five. There's certain things that they've done. I won't say solved, but they
aren't as scared of it.
They aren't as scared of it. Like, I think a lot of people came into the series and thought, oh, that's just going to run all over. And maybe it will, you know, who knows, going forward, they can make some adjustments. But I feel like Denver has some counters to that. Like, that lineup has to guard Denver. And it's very exhausting for Anthony Davis to have to guard Jokic if they're going to play heavy minutes.
Yeah.
So if you could do that, and then the Markieff at center lineup, that's a disaster. So I actually think the Lakers need Dwight, and they need his 15 to 20 minutes because they need some other lineup. They can't go super small. They can't go JaVale. Okay, you got to count on Dwight. So I think they need him. And it's not – to me, his value is no longer going to be in Goonie. He got one game. He got Jokic in foul trouble in game one. Tip your hat to him for that. I don't think he's going to get him another time like that.
Yeah, I think obviously he was trying to goon Jokic just in terms of, hey, I'm gonna try to continue to get in his head. I would hope that watching the film of that, he would notice that ship has sailed.
Right.
However, I don't blame him whatsoever. The Lakers were so listless in that game, early in that game, that by the time Dwight came in there, it was like he it wasn't just that he was trying to goon it up with Jokic. He was doing everything. He's like pumping up the bench, you know, and doing that stuff. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that aspect of it. The conversation before, I guess, tonight's game, by the time you guys are listening to this, is going to be what adjustments Vogel makes to the starting lineup. Personally, the one thing he cannot do is continue to start JaVale McGee. Pete is of the mind to start Markieff Morris and have AD play the five right from the get-go. And then the other idea is to play Dwight Howard right from the get-go. I'm of that inclination. But I'm always interested from the fans of the other team's perspective, what is it that you would be the most nervous about?
So from my perspective, I would still start JaVale. I know that's crazy. My thing is, you've got to get to 48 minutes.
From your perspective is in like...
No, what I'm saying, what I think... Here's the way I approach this. You've got to get to 48 minutes, okay? I don't think you can play Anthony Davis at the center position for more than, I don't know, 20 minutes. I mean, 20 minutes is stretching it, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, that's a short burst, big run lineup for the Lakers. At least that's what you're hoping.
Yeah.
You're going to play a lot of minutes. What you've had success with was Dwight Howard and AD together. And then I think you're going to have to play more minutes than they have with Dwight Howard at center without AD on the court. So if you get to 48 minutes with one of those two on the court at all time and with both of them on the court overlapping, I think the only way to make that work is if JaVale McGee plays 8 to 10 minutes total in this game. And it's just it's your token. It's not that you're playing that because you think it's great. It's because, can this lineup play more or less even for 4 minutes, so then we can shorten this game and get into the rotation that we really feel can dominate. So to me, that's where I would go. If you go with Dwight right off the bat, you're going to find minutes where you have neither of those guys on, or you're going to later on, you're going to run into lineups where Denver made their big runs in this series.
Yeah. Like the risk, if you start Dwight, is now you're asking him to go from 14 to 20 minutes.
It's a lot.
And that's a big deal.
He might not last that without six fouls, to be honest with you.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. My one counter is this, though. I don't want Jokic starting the game comfortable.
Mm.
Like, I don't want him, like, right from the get-go, if JaVale is out there, he knows I'm going to be able to crash the boards. He's not going to do anything to me while I have the ball. I don't have to worry about guarding him. I can just kind of sink my way into this game, figure out how the flow is going at this point, and then adjust accordingly. And if Dwight starts, I don't want to start Markieff. Just because, like you're saying, now you're like, if that AD Markieff LeBron front court doesn't come out and dominate,
I think it's a really good lineup. First of
all, it is. I think that's their best lineup.
Yeah, frankly.
Like that's what they should probably close with. But if that lineup doesn't come out there and just thoroughly outplay them, now you've wasted some of those minutes because they have never started together. But if you start Dwight though. And he's already, like, Jokic starts the game with a couple elbows and maybe starts getting frustrated right from the get-go. That, to me, seems more productive than just hoping to get by with JaVale.
It might be. I mean, the one thing I would say from my perspective is I've seen Jokic score 5 points through three quarters and then 17 in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen him start 20 points in the first quarter and then finish with 25. I mean, so I don't know that those things – It does sound good in theory. I see, and maybe it works out that way, but I don't know that that's how it's going to work. I mean, this Nuggets team, they've been very resilient. They've been down 15 points in most of the games they've played so far in this playoffs.
That's what was funny. Like, Brendan tweeted out, like, they took their foot off the gas when they were up 20, and I was like, yeah, because they had no idea what the hell to do there.
they're looking around like, what is this?
It was completely uncharted territory.
So I just don't know that those type of existential things work. To me, it would be more about both teams now kind of know what their ace sort of moments are, and you want to open up the window for your ace moments as much as you can and diminish the bad windows as small as you can.
Yeah. And last thing I'll add on this, and then we'll throw to a break, and we'll come back and finish off the rest of this episode before we throw to the crossover here with Locked On Nuggets. But if you start AD at the five, I think that kind of signals to the rest of the Lakers, all right, no more fucking around.
Maybe
it's right from the get go. We're it's go time. Here's our best lineup. Here's our best pitch. You know, think any pitcher rearing back and throwing their 100 mile an hour fastball saying, if you can get it, you can get it. Right. Here's where we're at. And I think, you know, just in terms of message to the rest of the Lakers, who, by the way, have not played particularly well this series. Like even
the others,
you look at the shooting, for example, shooters, Danny Green's 29% from 3-point range. Kyle Kuzma's 29% from 3-point range. LeBron, same exact percentage from 3-point range. Rajon Rondo, who's wide open whenever he wants to be, is only shooting 33%. Like, nobody really is playing all that well for the Lakers. And I think that speaks a lot to Denver making them uncomfortable. And I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about what you've seen from your perspective of what the Nuggets have done to make the Lakers so uncomfortable. So my folks are in town. They just got in this evening. And usually I can control the volume from the TV in the next room from where I'm sitting here. And I turned it down and I realized, oh, crap, Jen's talking to my mom. Damn it, I can't turn that volume down. I kind of feel like that's how the Lakers are with Dwight. Like, I can't turn his volume down.
Yeah, that's definitely awful. True. Yeah, he doesn't have a dial.
All right, so we ended the last segment talking about how the Nuggets have done some things to make the Lakers uncomfortable. The thing that any even layman can see is that they have made a top priority of getting back in transition and not giving anything up that way. But is there anything more specifically that you have seen or that you were hoping to see that the Nuggets have done to this point to make the Lakers, because it's not just that they're shooting poorly from 3-point range, but they aren't even getting particularly good looks in the half court. Like there's, they're shooting everything with like 3 seconds to go in the shot clock.
Yeah. I think Denver's defense has been, I've talked to you about this for years, Anthony. Yeah. People talk about the Nuggets as if they're the Washington Generals defensively. And I think it's hilarious because they're actually pretty competent. They're vulnerable to very specific types, which the Lakers don't really have the players, speedy point guards. That's like Denver's kryptonite. Donovan Mitchell, speedy point guard. He murdered him. But outside of that,
point guard who can shoot.
Well, shooting, sure. Although, I don't know, De'Aaron Fox has had some good games against them. Ish Smith, Ish Smith had, like, the game of his career this year against them. I mean, so not always just shooting. It's that speed. But Denver, they're just not as bad defensively as I think a lot of people think. And I think, especially if Denver is able to even the series, one of the things I'm very curious about, you mentioned Kuzma, you mentioned Caruso, you mentioned Danny Green, Markieff Morris. Those are the others. Mm-hmm. Denver's others are Jeremy Grant, Monte Morris, Gary Harris, Michael Porter Jr., at some point, I don't think it comes down to just to this, but there is a little bit of who do you trust more making shots? And I think I would there slide the scale in Denver's favor a little bit for those guys because Michael Porter, I think, is a pretty consistently good shooter. Gary Harris shooting, I think, 37% in the playoffs. Has been a 40% three-point shooter as many years as he was not a 40% three-point shooter. So Denver has guys that when they make shots, I'm not horribly surprised. Caruso, I'm pretty surprised when he makes a three. You know, Kuzma, I think, can knock down. Markieff Morris can get hot. Even Danny Green hasn't shot the ball well recently, but I know that he's a guy that can. But to me, that's one of the questions is if you have guys that the team can cheat off of, then they're going to cheat off of them. And they've done that a lot in this one to kind of pack the paint and keep the Lakers out of there. But the number one thing to me is what you said, transition. The Lakers are insanely good at creating transition, even off of makes, even off of dead balls. And Denver, I think, has slowly gotten better at that. I don't know if it can continue or not, but if they can force him to play in the half court, I kind of like Denver's chances.
Well, one thing's for sure, and I don't want to like whine about refereeing. I think game one tilted in the Lakers' favors. Game two, I thought tilted in Denver's favor. Game three was a little bit more down the middle. And I think at the end of the day, these things wind up evening out.
As long as key players aren't fouled out or have to go to the bench, then the damage for a bad call is mitigated. If it's the last play of a game, whatever. But the thing that kills you is if a player has to go to the bench early, in my opinion.
I'm not here to even comment on even that. I'm saying the thing that the Lakers would really like to avoid is a game that features a whole bunch of whistles. Because that means they're walking the ball off the court. That means they're getting into their transition or they're not in their transition and they're getting into their half court offense and they just seriously struggle there. I thought that their offense is already rudimentary, but I think it's even more simplistic in this series. And I think what they need to figure out a way to do is get LeBron the ball in different spots on the court and change up where he's attacking from. But you know, from where you're sitting, Has there been a play or a set or something that the Lakers have gone to that you say, okay, I really hope they don't come back to that, and then have seen that they haven't? Because again, one of the things I really find the most interesting in the dynamic between two fan bases is there's always, like you talked about, if Caruso rises up from three-point range, you're like, all right,
yeah,
that's fine. You know, it's just like if Gary Harris rises up from three-point range, I'm like, yeah. All right, this is an opportunity for transition. But is there anything that the Lakers have gone to and haven't come back to as often as you would have maybe thought they were, given how uncomfortable you were about the set itself?
The only thing I can really think of is Anthony Davis has been, when he's been good in the series, it's because he's been making jump shots, especially mid-range jump shots, and he's good enough that he can do that. But there's been a bunch of times where I've thought, okay, you know, Paul Millsap has two fouls. It's the second quarter. Why are you shooting a fadeaway on the baseline? Why are you doing that? Even if he hits them, I'm going, oh, thank God, because otherwise they were going to bring in Michael Porter or this, you know, like you're going to start to get to some really weak defenders. So that would be the thing for me. And maybe this is just who Anthony Davis is. He's a finesse player.
He definitely is.
But if he does have it in him to just say, you know what, I have to get to the rim and I'm going to get my shot blocked and I'm going to shoot a terrible percentage tonight or whatever, but odds are if he does that enough, he's going to pick up some fouls on some of Denver's players that they can't really afford to lose. And I don't know if he has that in him, because shooting 60% on mid-range jumpers feels really good, especially when he's on fire with them. And so to me, that's it. He's been really good in this series, especially the first two games, not so much this last one. But to me, I almost feel like he's good in a way that I'll live with. And maybe you win, maybe you don't. You almost win game two, even with him going for whatever he went for, including a game winner. But that's a heck of a lot better than him going to the rim and getting foul after foul.
It's kind of funny, because I think Blazers fans would have said the same thing, and Rockets fans would have said the same thing. Like, one of the things I really keep track of over the course of the game is how often Mark Jackson says, that's a shot you're okay with if you're Denver. That's a shot that you... That's what you hope that he
takes. Here's the thing, Anthony, is they don't have an AD stopper. Like Denver, yeah. I mean, I know Paul Millsap statistically.
I'm not sure how many of those exist.
Right, exactly. So if you talk about, well, what spirals off of a possession, AD shooting a fall away either goes in or doesn't, and nothing else comes off of it. Maybe the rebounding numbers, even on mid-range jumpers, are not very good for the offense. It's usually skews even more heavily to a defense. You go to the rim and get a foul, that's double bad, because you get a free throw and you get a player in a foul trouble. You go and collapse the defense and kick out, that's an open three. So again, some of this is you have to give respect to great players and say, hey, Anthony Davis can't be guarded. So you have to live with something. And I'd much rather live with him going for 35 points on mid-range jumpers, because I think you have a prayer of winning, and you also have a prayer of him maybe going for 33, not 35, and that making the difference, versus getting to the line a bunch and then you just say, oh, God, we have to put Noah Vonleh in to stop him.
Still shocked he's on the Nuggets. But I wasn't disagreeing with you. That wasn't me saying that what the Nuggets are doing isn't smart and what you're hoping for isn't the thing to hope for. I was just, you know, Davis has been shooting so well from the mid-range that those shots that you're saying, okay, I'll give those up, he's been hitting those at a rate that winds up hurting you in the long run anyway. That's what happens with great players. That's just how the things go
sometimes. I'm really curious to see if that continues, should Denver be able to pull even in this series. And this is why game four is so interesting, because we talked about this before. I know how Denver's going to perform if they're down 3-1. I'm not saying they come back. I'm just saying I know that they're not going to wilt. They're going to be like, you know what, we're still in this. I know how they respond when they're down 15 points. Maybe Anthony Davis is such a great player, I wouldn't be shocked one bit if they tie the series and then he goes for 40. But I also want to see it. I want to see him get a little bit of that pressure and see if he's as comfortable shooting fadeaway jump shots and running floaters and all of that as he was when the Lakers have been up. And they've been up comfortably pretty much for this entire playoff run. So that's one of the things I'm kind of curious about.
Last thing we get out of here.
Can I give you a crazy stat, though?
Yeah,
do you know Jamal Murray and Jokic have more playoff games under their belt than Anthony Davis? Isn't that wild?
It's insane. I mean, the Pelicans were such a freaking tire fire of an organization.
But the Nuggets' playoff debut was 13 months ago. It's just wild that then this
I guess that's true. Run, I mean, they played,
four straight seven-game series.
Oh, my God.
So they got 28 games under their belt in their first four series.
Seasoned veterans, I've always thought, in fact, about these Denver Nuggets.
I think Anthony Davis only has six fewer playoff – or I'm sorry, Michael Porter Jr. only has six fewer playoff games than Anthony Davis, which is really crazy.
Again, the Pelicans, man. All right, I have two things. One, quickly, is Jeremy Grant – like. Was that the Jeremy Grant game, or do you think that's a replicable thing?
I think that's the Jeremy Grant game. I would be shocked if he had that many points again. He got a lot of free throws, and I went back and watched him. He got a lot of free throws off of, like, he happened to be the guy that caught the ball when he got the Lakers were going to foul somebody. But, you know, he can knock down threes. But here's the thing I come back to. You know, Monte Morris can make shots if he's open. Like, he can make shots. Mm-hmm. He can pull up from the mid-range. Michael Porter Jr. can make a lot of shots. I mean, that guy is... That's what he does. He's a shot maker. You know, you go down the list. Gary Harris, I know you don't believe in him, but he's a guy that can knock down three, four three-pointers in a game if left open, gets good looks. Paul Millsap hasn't really shot the ball well yet in this series, but he's a 40% three-point shooter this year on good volume. I think five attempts a game. Mm-hmm. So the Nuggets have a lot. I think that was the Jeremy Grant game. Maybe he does it again. But the Nuggets have a bunch of guys that I just wouldn't be surprised if it was their night to hit three three-pointers.
Yeah,
their game. They just have their game, exactly. So there's a handful of those guys out there for Denver.
Last thing, I think this is honestly the key to game four. We saw what it looked like when Denver played with the 20-point lead. We joked about it earlier in the show. How has Denver handled success in over the course of the season so far? Like, not having their backs up against the wall, I think, to me, is the biggest key for how game four might go.
It's such a great question, Anthony, because I believe, I told people this at the start of the year. People talked about Denver's net rating, right? There's the Pythagorean win-loss. Like, how, your net rating tells you how good of a team you are. You could have 50 wins, but if your net rating is plus three, you know, you're really a 40-something win team. You just played above your head. Denver fell in that category, right? They were the three seed, but a lot of people said, yeah, but they have a win. They barely win. They win a lot of close ones. And I always said, this is, your team takes on the traits of your best player, and Jokic is 100% the procrastinator's procrastinator. And I'm not saying, and it's funny that it's bared fruit now that they've gotten down 3-1 and then totally turned into a buzzsaw and looked great, because it's the most Jokic thing ever. This team, so I say all that to say that they do blow a lot of comfortable leads, and they don't build a lot of comfortable leads, quite frankly, because then things are going well, they just kind of manage. But when they're, when things aren't going well, it just seems like that's when they kind of click on. Denver, one of the best teams over 2 years in a row now in the clutch. And again, I just think that's something to do with, okay, it's fourth quarter. It's go time. We're down five. Okay. No more messing around.
Like, I always just picture him rolling his eyes like, God, I got to try. Come on.
100%. That, I mean, he had 11 straight, right? In the end of the fourth quarter of game two, I thought he was going to win it. And it was just like such a classic Jokic moment where you're like, oh, that's right. You slept walk through the first 46 minutes. And then all of a sudden you hit like five straight tough shots.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun one, man. I particularly enjoy this kind of throwback to bigs.
Man, I love it.
It's so much fun. It's such a nice throwback, to, especially coming off of, like, you know, you look at what's going on in the Eastern Conference Finals, right, where it's two smaller teams that are
Bam Adebayo, man, is in my list. That might be my three favorite bigs in the league, Jokic, Bam, and Anthony Davis.
I know, but he's – He's smaller.
He's smaller,
you know. That's what I meant. It's just like two bigs, like two legit 7-footers that are, you know, it looks like Pacific Rim when they're coming, you know, when they're meeting against each other in the kids. It's a lot of fun. That's going to do it, though, for this episode and this half of our Locked On Lakers, Locked On Nuggets crossover episode.
I got more heat. I held back a little heat, so people are going to have to tune in to Locked On Nuggets, because I got a couple heaters for you on the other end of this.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know what? I'm going to go full Lakers exceptional in your half. Let's have some fun with that.
I don't know any other Anthony, to be honest.
Damn. That's dumb. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's and check out part B of this crossover.
I would say it's part A. This was part B.
Wow. I'm telling you, man. You laughed at the 9 out of 10 confidence thing at the beginning of the show. This is Adam. He's just glowing.
Hey, man. I'm confident in myself. I'm not necessarily confident in the Nuggets. I'm very confident in Adam Adams.